بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما أصابكم من مصيبة فبما كسبت أيديكم ويعفو عن كثير وقال تعالى وإذا مرضت فهو يشفين وقال تعالى إن ربك فعال لما يريد صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has given us the tawfiq again together to listen to some discourse of deen, and I make dua to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala puts the right words onto my tongue, to my heart, which will be beneficial to myself and to all of us who are listening, so that we may correct ourselves and become closer to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And that is the purpose of our gathering, is for islah purposes, so that we can rectify the wrongs that we are doing and become closer to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. All of us are well aware of the coronavirus that has become or gripped the entire world with fear. And this is the current topic we have heard in Jumu'ah and many other bayans also, that across the globe, different countries, in fact almost every single country, has got this fear of this virus spreading, becoming an epidemic. There is great panic, this fear. Big powers, superpowers, huge governments, all have been brought down to the knees. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is showing us His might, His qudrat. Allah's whoop makes no sound. Allah's army, you and I cannot even imagine and fathom the might and strength of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is beyond our imagination. Allah does not require a huge army of angels to destroy any nation. One lame mosquito that went into the nostril of Namrud and got stuck somewhere in his head, which caused him excruciating pain. No matter what strength he had, material strength, physical strength, no matter what position he had, it brought him down to his knees. Fir'aun, with all his might and all his power and all his strength, Allah Ta'ala used the ocean to drown him. Allah Ta'ala is showing us various lessons. So this coronavirus that has brought big governments to their knees, it has had such an effect on the stock market. I was reading an article, they said the stock market had its worst weeks ever since the year 2008. If you look at the travel restrictions, there are bans, travel restrictions. For whatever purpose, you are unable to travel to various countries of the world. Imagine now Haramain Sharifain also. No Umrah visas. People are worried what's going to happen. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has got His wisdom, His plan. You see, when we desecrate those holy lands, when you and I go there, and instead of making ibadat of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, instead of showing azmat and respect to the Kaaba Sharif and to the Rawda Mubarak, instead of fulfilling the maqsad and purpose why we have undertaken the journey, when we go and desecrate that place and literally make it a place of picnic and merrymaking, this is no fairy tale we have seen with our eyes. There is no sukoon to read 2 rakat salat at night after making your tawaf, because wherever you're sitting, there are women this side, that side, people are having a nice laugh with their family and children, and everybody is laughing and taking pictures. There's just flashing of videos, cameras. People use the Kaaba as a background to take a picture. You come into Roza Mubarak, you've got your head lowered, you're standing before the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you wish to convey your salam. In front of you, behind you, people are taking pictures, they are phoning their families, and they've got them live, and they're making a noise. Allah Ta'ala says, if this is the situation, Haramain Sharif bin Kitar of Mat'aw, it is as though Allah is saying this. May Allah forgive us, may Allah overlook us. Inshallah it will open. People are worried, Mala, what's going to happen? Nothing, inshallah it will open. Allah wants us to ponder, realize, we can blame the whole world and take out everything and new theory and conspiracy and this happened and that is what they're doing and this is the plan. And but look at ourselves. What have I done? What wrong have I done? Have I turned away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yes or no? So this virus that has become an epidemic, and as I mentioned, it has major ramifications as far as trade is concerned. You see, the travel business, travel industry is one of the biggest in the world. Somewhere I was reading $5.7 trillion in revenue. And suddenly there's such a drop. People are not traveling. Number of passengers have come so down. We didn't know about the town Wuhan, which was such a busy city. And then reports have come that it has become a ghost town. May Allah remove the difficulties that whosoever may be suffering in any part of the world. We are an ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We make dua, Allah remove this bala that has come. So as we mentioned, there are so many various conspiracy theories. We're not going to go into all those, whether it's a bioweapon that has been engineered to wipe out China or different parts of the world. Allah knows best. The point here is that this is a reality. This is a disease. This is an epidemic. This is a bimari that has come into the world. So suddenly find every person is now buying his face mask. Those same people who used to literally pull out the hijab of a Muslim woman. And the whole world was silent about it, you and I also. Maybe we made a few comments here and there. Allah made it such that not only the women are now covering their face, even the men also. All of them wearing the face mask. Sharia has taught us taharat. People laugh at the Muslims that you're washing, you go to the toilet, you use water. Alhamdulillah. Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala, when some person mocked him, that your Nabi teaches you everything, even to go to the toilet, he says, yes. Our Nabi teaches us to make istinja also, how to make istinja. How to use water also. At-tuhuru, shatrul iman, it is, purification is part of iman. So respected brothers and elders, this is a topic that has gripped every person. Everybody is talking about it. It has made the headlines. And every day we're hearing more and more countries, more and more people are becoming affected by it. But what is a mu'min's reaction to these things? First of all, we accept it is a bimari. It's a disease. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for every disease that He has sent into this world, He has sent an ilaj, a cure. Riwayat of Bukhari Sharif. Ma anzala Allahu da'an illa anzala lahu shifa, o kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ma anzala Allahu da'an, Allah has not sent down any disease, illa anzala
be he shifa, and except that Allah has sent down a cure also for it. Bukhari Sharif hadith. Various other similar hadith, similar words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, likulli da'in dawa, for every bimari there's a dawa, there's a cure. Yeah, the question is that to find this dawa, to find the cure, that may take time. It may take years also, depending on Allah's plan, Allah's hikmat. But the belief of a believer should be that for every disease there is a cure. Doctors, professors, people in the lab, in that field, scientists, every day they are discovering new and new remedies for different diseases. And how quick Allah wants them to find the cure, it is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So firstly, we have to understand this. There is no such thing that is a disease and there is no cure for it. Yes, it may take some time for them to find the right cure. And they will experiment and they will try. There will be a trial error process. And finally, then they come up with some type of cure. Then also the effect of this cure also varies. This is Allah's hukam. I may have a headache, so I will take a Panado, and within minutes, the headache is gone. And somebody else got the same type of headache, he takes a Panado, the same tablet, but it takes him 2 hours to get relief. And somebody else, 1 whole day, 2 days, and then only he gets relief. So even the effect in that cure, that also can vary. But there is cure. So the very first thing we have to understand and put this mindset correct, that doctors will research, they'll discover some ilaj, some cure. Whether it's in the form of medication, tablets, or alternate medication, whatever it is. But Allah Ta'ala has got a cure for every single disease. And how quick that cure is found, then again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got His plan, His wisdom. So what is our reaction? We should never become panic stricken. Don't become overwhelmed. That's the difference between a mu'min and a kafir. See, iman is so precious, so precious. Iman brings in it tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It brings reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iman teaches us to make sabr. So a believer, if he is suffering any illness, any disease, any calamity, so if it's a disease, he knows there is cure for it. And the process that he undergoes and the pain and suffering he undergoes whilst he's getting this ilaj, he understands that this is a means of my gunas being forgiven. And during that period, what is he doing? He's making dua to Allah. Kafir is not turning to any person. Don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A believer is turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many a person suffering cancer? May Allah give them shifa, may Allah protect us also. I've seen so many of them. But with a smile on the face, and the person says, I've become closer to my Allah. I've become closer to my Allah. I've become stronger in my faith. So a believer knows there'll be cure. A believer knows that I'm making sabr. In fact, there's a riwayat in one kitab. Al-faraju ba'da shiddah. After difficulty comes ease. And one of the narrations that has been mentioned is that even waiting and making sabr after some musibat comes upon you and you are waiting for relief, that interim period in which you are making sabr, that is also equal to ibadah. And therefore Rasulullah mentioned, ajaban li amri al-mu'min. How wonderful is the affair of a believer. All his affairs are good for him. If some musibat comes to him, sabara, fakana khairan lahu. Musibah comes to him, he makes sabr, that's good for him, because he's going to be rewarded. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتُ سَرَّى If some good happens to him, شَكَرَ he may shukar to Allah Ta'ala. So he's got these two roads, sabr and shukar. This is only for a believer. So the believer again, knows there'll be cure. And if he is going through great difficulties, he's not finding the cure has not been found, he knows his takfir of sayyat, he's being cleansed and purified by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ultimately he knows that if I pass away in this disease, then I'm returning to my asli abode, my original home, and there is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going back to Jannat. And there are some diseases, if a person passes away, like a stomach disease, then he gets shahada. He gets martyrdom. So he's winning all the time. So for the believer, he should not become overwhelmed. He shouldn't go into a state of panic. Allah save us. Again, always ask for afiyat. But whatever disease afflicts you, then understand if it's a sickness, then there is some cure. In the interim, till the cure is not found, and whilst I'm going through this ilaj process, Allah is wiping out all my sins. Then I'm making dua to Allah and becoming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I do pass away, is the hukam of Allah. And this is called rida bil qada. To be happy with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, Hassan Basri rahmatullah used to say, when it comes to afiyat, peace, and being free from any type of adversity, calamity, everybody is equal. You can't really make out the difference when everybody is enjoying comfort. But the moment some musibat comes, tabayyaru, now you see how each person reacts. Then you see how strong a person's iman is. Allah protect me, Allah save me, I'm a very weak person. But then we see how the person reacts now. What is the response to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It is natural, when any person is given the news, Allah save us, that you've got a certain disease. Person is diagnosed with cancer. Nobody will smile at the doctor. We are not the type of iman. Any person will become shocked first. He'll become saddened. That's natural. That's a natural insani bashari effect. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he was holding his asa. وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَىٰ قَالَ هِيَ عَصَىٰي And then he mentioned all the things he did with his, just with his asa, his stick. أَلْقِهَا يَا مُوسَىٰ Allah says, O Musa, throw it down. فَأَلْقَاهَا He threw it down. فَإِذَا هِيَ حَيَّةٌ تَسْعَىٰ It became a snake. It was moving. Musa al-Salam became afraid. Nabi of Allah. A very great Nabi of Allah. Allah returned him, قَالَ لَا تَخَفْ O Musa, do not fear. So this is that in natural effect and athar, if something fearful happens to any person, you get afraid. If a person is walking outside, suddenly he sees a lion coming, obviously he'll become afraid. That's a natural athar and effect. However, immediately after that, Allah Ta'ala made the tarbiyat of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. La taqaf. Khudha. Hold it, Allah is showing him that now it will return back to the original form as a stick. So as a believer also, we become affected, yes. But what does the believer do? He accepts wholeheartedly the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the hukam of my Allah. Allah has desired this for me. My Allah is too kind. My Allah will not put me through misery. My Allah has got something greater in store for me. It's not that a person gets some disease now, like this disease that has virus has spread. Now suddenly my life is going to become shorter. No. Whatever life has been decreed for you, we mentioned the hadith al-Adri, when the child is in the womb of the mother, and the after 120 days, and then the angel is commanded, bikat bi rizqihi, how much rozi he'll get, wa ajrihi, and his lifespan. How many years this child is going to live? How many years this person is going to live? So again, it's natural that a person becomes worried, concerned. But then that's the end. You don't become overwhelmed with it. Now what do we do as believers? We heard in Jummah Bayan also, that we look for something different, some new type of solution. What is the way forward? The way forward is to go backwards. Backwards to where? Towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have moved away from Allah, so we'll go back towards Allah. And this is called Rujur ila Allah. Rujur ila Allah. Returning to Allah. Fafirru ila Allah. We escaped from Allah. Where do we go? We go back to Allah. And I have always mentioned this incident, and it gives me a lot of hope, a lot of strength and understanding. Zunnun Misri Rahmatullah Ali was walking along the street one day and he was feeling a bit low. And he wanted to understand that how he should go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he sees a little incident and he observes this little child being spanked by the mother and thrown out of the house, and the child is crying, and so he's watching this child to see what this child is going to do. Mother shut the door and the child is crying outside, going in the streets and sobbing, and then he sees the child taking a U-turn, coming back to the door, sits on the doorstep and knocks and knocks and cries, calls out for the mother, Ummi, 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 Ummi. Knocks and he's crying and he's crying and he's crying. And he sees, not long after that, the mother opens the door. The same mother who spanked the child, now she grabs hold of this child. She kisses this child. She wipes off those tears that were rolling down the cheeks of this child. She clings onto this child. She kisses this child. Sunnun Misri Rahmatullah says, Now I understood my sabak. Go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is Arhamur Rahimi. So this is what is required. You see, there is an ayat of the Quran which we have discussed many times before. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. Whoever turns away from my remembrance, Allah ta'ala says. This is the system of Allah. You turn away from Allah, you ignore. Mashaykh have mentioned in the explanation and the Urdu tarjuma of this verse, you see, those people who do not accept the nasihat, the advice of Quran and Sunnah, for them is a miserable life. Ma'ishatan vanka. Vankan means very, very constricted. Two tafsirs. One, some mufassirin say it's referring to the qabr, where the life in the qabr will be a miserable life for the person. Others say, no, even in this world also. Even in this world also, he'll be living a life of misery. This is when we turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, the very first thing all of mashayikh say, make rujoo ila Allah. Go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whole ummah is to come together. Whole ummah. There is a narration, but there is much kalam of this narration, that when the ummah leaves out amar bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar, they'll be deprived of the barakat of wahi. To some extent, a little bit of amar bil ma'roof is taking place, alhamdulillah. We command people towards good waaz, nasihat, bayans, tabligh. But nahi anil munkar, stopping people from evil, here we are failing miserably. We don't have the courage to stop and to advise somebody when he's doing something wrong. We have people in our immediate family, and openly they are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we don't have that himmat to direct them and move them away from that munkar and bring them towards ma'ruf. May Allah forgive us. So when this happens, then Allah sends an arm azab. Allah sends an arm azab. And that arm azab, whether the person is a pious person or impious, everybody is affected. And then when my ummah will fight and quarrel, sway one another. سَقَطَتْ مِنْ عَيْنِ اللَّهِ. Then they'll fall from the nigah of Allah. They'll fall from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, we should not show any complacency. Generally what happens, when it doesn't affect us directly, then we're not bothered. It happens some part of the world, right there in China, some Muslims are in some concentration camps. Okay. We'll make dua for them. Nobody feels the pain as we ought to feel the pain. If the disease didn't affect me directly, nobody bothers. Where does benefit from me? Then immediately, I'm very concerned. When there's no immediate nuksan to me, I'm not bothered. We have become matlabis. Allah forgive me for saying that. Of course, I'm addressing myself first. Where there is benefit for me, I'm there. There's no benefit for me. There's no harm to me. It's harming somebody else. That's his problem. So we have that insensitive attitude. And this is contrary to how a true believer should be. Al-mu'minun. The believers. Al-mu'minun. Yani, al-kamilun. Perfect believers. Those whose iman is perfect. They are karajulin wahidin. Like one human being, one man. In ishtaka aynuhu, ishtaka kulluhu. Wa in ishtaka ra'suhu, ishtaka kulluhu. If his eye pains, his whole body pains. If his head pains, the whole body pains. Hadith of Rasul says that you see the believers fi tarahumihim, tara al-mu'minin fi tarahumihim wa ta'atufihim. In the love they show one another, in the mercy they show one another, like a person who is suffering some pain, some physical pain, some sickness. So the whole night he is restless. Bisahari wal humma. He's gripped with fever and he's restless. Each other limb of his body is responding to whichever limb is suffering some pain with restlessness. Person's finger is paining or his tooth is paining. So the eye is also awake. The mind is also awake. Why? Because of one little pain. And this is how the ummah, you and I, should be. But if we become complacent, and we don't have any interest in the ummah, then this is contrary to how a believer should be. May Allah forgive us. So the very first thing is rujoo ila Allah. And remember, inna rabbaka fa'alun lima yurid. In tonight's Isha Salah we heard it also. Verily your Rabb fa'al. He does as he wishes. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. You have no desire except what Allah wills. In other words, you cannot fulfill your desire except if Allah wishes to fulfill your desire. Everything is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is our Mawla. He is our Malik. He is our sustainer. He is our nourisher. Remember, this entire life in this world, we talk about the vicissitudes of life. Ups and downs of life. There's a day when it is sunny. There's a day when things are cloudy. There's a day when a person is sick. There's a day when a person is healthy. There's a time a person is sad. There are times in life when he's happy. So this keeps on happening. This is life in this world. Nobody has come into this world and right till he left this world, he is only enjoying happiness and surur. No. And nobody has come into the world from the time he is born till he leaves the world for 70, 80 years. He's only in gham. No. But sometimes, because of some calamities, what happens to us, we feel that this musibat, it grips us to such an extent that we forget completely all other ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we feel there is no hal, there is no solution to this musibat. While talking about musibat, many times people ask the question, but why all this is happening in the world? Masoom children are suffering. People are being bombarded. They've got no homes. May Allah change the conditions. Brothers, it is not easy to hear these stories, and not stories and fairy tales, is genuine information of masoom children who have become yatim. Imagine just walking and walking for miles and miles. They've got no home. Wherever they're trying to go, they are being chased away. They are believing men and believing women. So we talk about musibat, as Shah Wasiullah Rahmatullah has mentioned, that Mona Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah has mentioned, and Ibn Jawzi Rahmatullah also mentioned the same thing. He says musibat, sickness, calamities, all these things are of three types. The first type is when it comes onto a person and he begins to complain and he becomes angry with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he is not happy with this decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this calamity is an azab for him. So what is the criteria? What's the yardstick of knowing anything happening in the world, the calamity, whether it's azab or not azab? See the reaction of the person who is suffering from the calamity. If he takes it to be such that he is now angry with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's displeased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's not happy with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is an azab for him. اگر امراض و مصائب کے ساتھ مصیبت زدہ کو تقدیر الہی پر غصہ اور اس سے شکایت پیدا ہو تو علامت قہر خداوندی اور عذاب کی ہے. That when a person takes it to be, he shows ناراضگی, he is displeased with Allah Ta'ala's hukam. Why Allah is giving me this? Why is this happening to me? Then this calamity or this test is an azab for him. The second one, the second one is when the person who is affected by the calamity, he makes sabr. He's patient. Aur agar sabr ki baat, agar ye surat na ho, balki us par sabr kare, to ye alamat kafara-e-dhunub ki hai. When a person is affected by some calamity, some trial, tribulation, whatever it is, he's thrown out of his homeland, he's going through some financial difficulty, some physical illness, whatever it may be, but he exercises sabr, patience upon this, then this becomes a means of expiation of his sins. His sins are getting washed away. Takfir of dhunub. Takfir ya means his gunas are being washed away. And the third type is that when this calamity befalls him, then he is happy with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is happy with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aur agar sabr ke baad riza aur qalb inshiram mahsoos kare, to wo alamat raf'e darajat ki hai. This now is a sign that this person's rank and level is being higher and higher and higher in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many of those refugees, many of them are either in the second group or third group. They are making sabr and the sins are being wiped off. Or they are happy with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are not complaining. And what's happening? They are getting raf'i darajat. It's an ajeeb hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I don't have time to go expounding to this hadith. But in the akhirat, when a person will see the reward of a person who suffered different types of calamities and tests and trials in this world, on account of which he made sabr, and because of the sabr he made, he is getting such reward in the hereafter, then at that time, people will desire that in this world, their skins were cut off with sharp instruments like scissors or knives, and they were wounded, and they exercised sabr upon that, so that they would now also enjoy that type of reward which those people are now getting. Of course, we must ask for afiyat always. But to explain the reward for a person making sabr, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Limitless reward for those who make sabr in this world. So these are three types of calamities that ulama have mentioned. Now coming back to what we need to do is, first, رُجُوءِ Allah, sincere tawbah, istighfar. And many times we find ourselves making the sincere tawbah, making that istighfar. But not long after that, again we slip. And of course, our mashayikh have mentioned this, and we have repeated this, we have heard this from so many ulama, that jo so bar toote, so bar jure. The tawbah you made genuinely at that time, you moved away from the wrong, you showed that nadamat, you promised Allah, you're not going to go back, and you were firm on it. So after some time again, nafs and shaitan had the better of you. And you just became overpowered. You tried to restrain, but you failed, and you committed the sin again. No qiyamah. Again, turn to Allah subhanahu. Allah is so kind. Allah is so kind. Allah is most forgiving. So again, make the sincere tawbah. But must be sincere. So make sincere tawbah. And istighfar, we mentioned in one of the zikr programs. Man lazima al-istighfar ja'ala Allahu lahu min kulli dhiqin makhraja wa min kulli hammin faraja wa razaqahu min haythu la yahtasib. Whoever clings on to istighfar, astaghfirullah, 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 then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make for him an opening from every difficulty. Allah will give him happiness from every remorse and every sorrow. And Allah will provide for him from unseen sources. So tawbah, istighfar. Then the second thing is taqwa. Sabr and taqwa come together. Both are important. In the time of Badr, it was not the numbers sahaba had. Very few in numbers. Not the ammunition they had, hardly anything they had. Just about two horses, 313, against such a mighty army of 1,000 people. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the sabr, they had the taqwa. The tawakkul upon Allah was such that Allah sent down angels to assist them. And yes, Allah will send down angels to assist this ummah. Again, in tasbiru wa tattaqu. In tasbiru wa tattaqu, that you have the true sabr and you have taqwa. So this is what we require. Do all those things that Allah has commanded us to do and refrain from those things that Allah has prohibited us. Then thirdly is dua. These 7 points, Hazrat Maulana Salim Dora Sahib Damat Barakatuh, may Allah give him jazai khair, in a very recent article that he had taken out from his academy regarding the conditions of the ummah, he has prescribed these 7 things. And the very first one, I told you, Ruju ila Allah. Second one, Tawbah istighfar. Or first one, Tawbah istighfar, sorry. Second one, Taqwa. Third one, he says, Dua, Dua, Dua. Dua has such effect in it. Dua has such effect in it that if anything could change taqdeer, it will be Dua. Beg and beg and beg Allah. So even though your Muslim brother and sister is far away, and you may be sleeping in your cozy bed, but at night when you are turning from one side to the other and your eyes open, Allah forgive the ummah of Nabiya Kareem. Allah change the condition the ummah is suffering from. Ya Allah, my Muslim brothers and sisters in India, they are being persecuted, my Allah. Ya Allah, they are being burned to death, my Allah. In the Isha Salat, Sama'i Zatil Buruj, Allah talks about believers. The enemy had dug trenches for them, kindled it with fire. And the enemy sat watching what they were doing to the believers and how they were being punished. Each one was taken and thrown into the fire and he was burned to death. There's nothing new. It's from those years, centuries ago. They would burn the believer to death. May Allah save us. May Allah save the ummah of Nabi Karim. And it's the incident where a mother comes with a little child. وَمَا نَقَمُوا مِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ الَّذِي لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٍ. And his mother comes with a child and she has to plunge into this trench because she's a believer. But if she renounces the iman and she says, no, okay, I am not believing in Allah, then her life will be spared. But of course, they were strong, they were firm believers. So when she came, she hesitated, tawakkafat. She pulled back a bit, just for a few seconds. Her child, this is one of those little children who spoke in infancy. Ya Ummah, isbiri, fa inniki al haq. Oh my mother, make sabr, you on haq, jump in. Allah Ta'ala praises believers in the Quran. So dua. All our mashayikh, Hazrat Thani Ramadhan especially, and many others, whenever halat in the world were critical, crucial, Muslims were being persecuted, he says, recite, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah in abundance. And of course, we expounded on this meaning of La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. I also mentioned in Ramadan many times, under the tafsir, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلُهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Malik bin Awf al-Asja'i radiallahu anhu's incident when he was kidnapped, and then he broke loose from the enemy and he brought the camels, and his parents had come to Rasulullah saying, our son has been kidnapped, and Nabi Kareem said, have adopt taqwa and recite La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah in abundance. In one time in India there was riots, they came to Hazrat Tanjana and Hazrat Yakarna, Hazrat said, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah kasrat se paro. They just started reading it and everything came calm. And the second thing is istighfar. Hazrat Mufti Ahmed Khanpuri Sahab Damat Barakatum also mentioned now a few days ago, that not just one or two people, everybody must read istighfar in abundance. Usko khub aam karo, istighfar, astaghfirullah. And do it sincerely. Then of course, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min az-zalimin. Extremely powerful. Da'watu dhin-noon. Yunus alayhi salam's dua. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is thrown into the fire. Angel comes down. Oh Ibrahim, you want me to help you? He says, your help? No. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil. My Allah is sufficient. Allah commanded that fire. Ya naru, kuni bardan wa salaman. Oh fire, become cool. Don't become so cool, ice cold, that my Ibrahim will become frozen to death. Salaman. Such that he gets comfort in that coolness also. Like an air-conditioned room. So dua. Dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then of course sadaqah, and I think a few months back, not long ago, the whole Jummah bayan was dedicated only on the fadail of sadaqah. Because any bala that was coming from the sky, by you giving sadaqah, it will ward off that bala. Guaranteed. Words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Baqiru bi sadaqah. Nabi Karim said, jaldi karo sadaqah ke saath. فَإِنَّ الْبَلَاءَ لَا يَتَخَطَّاهَا. It's not possible. You give sadaqah and the bala still comes to you. Allah will push it away. Every single day, our elders, we had seen, every single day they take out some money, whether it's a few coins, whether a few rands, but they would have a tin, and no, must give sadaqah. So sadaqah again. Then of course I mentioned making sabr. When a person makes sabr, one verse of the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. You're making sabr, who's with you? Allah is with you. Allah is with you. And in making sabr, Allah gives you such consolation, such consolement, because you're realizing that Allah is with me. Then salat, salat. Oh, five times salat. Our five times salat, we have to be paaband, regular with the five times salat, and of course, engage in nafil salah also. Engage in nafil salah also. So these are, and one more, the last one is zikrullah. Make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is the khulas of all what we have said? What do we have to do? Times of adversity, calamity, we do not become overwhelmed. A friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he accepts this condition from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He develops a strong ta'alluq and bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what we have to know. Allah ke saath apna ta'alluq mazboot kar lo. This is our sabak today. Whatever ta'alluq we have with Allah, We are weak people. Our ta'aluk with Allah is weak. But let's strengthen that weak ta'aluk and make it a little bit more stronger. A little bit more stronger. And inshallah, Allah will make it even more stronger. I always mention you take a few baby steps towards Allah, Allah comes running towards you. تعرف إلى الله في الشدة يعرفك تعرف إلى الله في الرخاء يعرفك في الشدة حديث of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. If you become acquainted, in other words, you become, develop the ta'aluk with Allah, when you are suffering some problem, when in times of happiness and comfort, when you got all the things for you, every type of ni'mat you are enjoying, there's no shortage for you in anything, you've got everything, at that time, your ta'aluk with Allah is strong, then when you are suffering, Allah Ta'ala will remember you. يَعْرِفْكَ فِي الشِّدَّةِ. I mentioned this waqiyah before. Somebody asked Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, if Allah Ta'ala makes the sky a bow and arrow, and Allah is the archer, just an example, Allah is the archer, and the sky is the bow, and he's shooting down arrows of calamities and adversities one after the other upon you. Is there any escape? Musa said, yes. He said, how? He said, stand next to the archer. Allah ke bazu mein khara. Stand next to the archer, you'll be safe. What does it mean? They develop a ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though our friendship, our wilayat, our bond is not like the real friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though it's a week, but we've still got some connection. No phone, we'll be charging it. We've got a weak connection, but at least we can make a call. Allah ta'ala is too kind. Allah, our one call to Allah, and Allah opens the floodgates of mercy for us. So this is what we have to do. Our ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, our time is up. Maybe a few more things I will explain next week, especially when it comes to sicknesses. I think just mention two hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when a person is suffering from sometimes fever or some sickness, so mentioned to Ummu Sa'ib radiallahu ta'ala anha, she had heavy fever. So he said, "La tasub bil hima." Don't swear and curse fever. Why? When a person gets fever, what happens? Then the fever causes the person's sins to come off his body. Like how a blacksmith uses his furnace to remove the filth from the iron that he is now burning, and how it just melts like that. All the sins are melted off the person's body just on account of fever that he's suffering. When a person is suffering from fever, it doesn't mean he can't complain. We say complain, you can't complain against Allah, yes. Oh Allah, why you give it to me? But to complain of pain and ache, there is nothing wrong in that. Sayyidina Aisha as-Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala had a headache. Rasulullah was coming to her. She says, "Wa ra'asa, oof, what a headache I got." Nabi Akram says, "Okay, if you got a headache and if you pass away, I'll give you ghusl, kafan, I'll perform your janazah salah." Oh, it seems like you want me to go. Then the same day in the evening, you go by one of your other wives. Nabi Akram smiled for the best of Rasulullah. Ah. And then he said, "Bal ana wa ra'sa. Aisha, my head is really paining." It's mentioned just after that. That was the beginning of the last few days of Rasulullah ﷺ. Bilal radiallahu anhu, when he made hijrah from Makkah to Medina, severe fever. He had to get used to and adjust himself to the climate of Medina. Became very sick. He started mentioning poetry about and reminiscing the days of Makkah and the huge mountains of Makkah and the beautiful fields of Makkah. He wished, he was pining to go back to Makkah. So to complain of aches and pain, it's nothing wrong. Some musibat came upon you. You lost a dear one. Ibrahim radiallahu anhu passed away. Nabi Kareem shed tears. Sahabi asked, "Sulma hadhal buka, why are you crying?" He says, "This is rahmat Allah placed in the hearts of ar-ruhama, with those who have mercy in their hearts." Then the second one, very important. No harm, difficulty, sickness, fatigue, grief, sorrow, even a little thorn that pricks a believer, except that whatever calamity has befallen him in the form of sickness, exhaustion, fatigue, sorrow, grief, pain, aches, a thorn pricking him, Allah Ta'ala wipes out sins for the believer. So whatever difficulty you're going through, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is wiping out your sins. Then it is mentioned, ma idhamil bala, depending on the extent of the test that you are going through, according to the strength of your test, that is the reward you will get by Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. The greater the test, the greater the reward. Therefore, ashaddun nasi balan, the people who suffered the greatest of hardship, to who? Al-Anbiya. Thumma al-amthal fal-amthal. Then people after the Anbiya, the awliya Allah. So they went to great tests. So in any case, we should not lose hope. A person, ma yazalu al-bala'u bil-mu'min wal-mu'mina fi nafsihi wa waladihi wa malihi hatta yalqa Allahu ma alayhi min khati'ah. In Tirmidhi Sharif, he mentioned that sometimes a musibat is on a person, a believing man or a woman, regarding his body or his child or his property, his wealth, some loss. But what happens when he meets Allah on the day of Qiyamah? He's got no sin left, everything is wiped off. So kind Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is. And finally also, even when a person is suffering through any type of difficulty, and especially he's got some illness and sickness, even during the days of his illness and sickness, because he is weak, he's feeble, he does not have the strength to do that type of ibadah which he normally did. Normally reading one para every day, making so much of tasbihat and dhikr, and his dua, and he was pabund with tahajjud and ishraq, etc. But now because of that fever or weakness or sickness, he cannot do so. Allah will still give him the reward as though he performed it. So even in his sickness, see, Allah Ta'ala is with you all the time. Therefore, one hadith of Rasul Mafai, these things are coming now, that it's a long hadith. Allah tells, man, how come when I was sick, you didn't visit me? The person, ya Allah, you are Allah, how can you be sick? He says, no, one of my bandas was sick. One of my slaves, my servant was sick. If you visited him, you would have found me by him. So, sicknesses come. Allah grant all those who are sick, Allah give them complete, kamil shifa. All those who are suffering, may Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulty. Allah protect us, as we heard in the other day, that sometimes you might think China, India, we don't know who's next and what is next. From my naqis understanding, Allah forgive me. The closer we are getting to Qiyamah, the more and more adversities and calamities are going to come. The next disease, we don't know. But we do not know what the name will be and when it's going to happen, where it's going to happen, what type of thing, or what the next calamity, or what the afat will be. Allah give us afiyat, protection from all. But the test will come. And it'll come very rapidly. Like how we have a tasbih, and when we cut off the string, how those beads come rolling. Maybe the first one will come out and then still there's some break before the next one comes out. But as they come one after the other, then it comes in great succession, one after the other. And in one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that before Qiyamah, that a person, the example is given like we have waves of an ocean. And this test comes upon the person such that it wipes him off his feet, like how a wave came and just push you off your feet. And you don't know what happened. And you say, hoo, 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 I'm going to drown. And before you know, the next one already lashing at you. And you say, Hadi muhlikati. No, this is the one who's going to finish me up. But you, that one hardly even passed by, and the third one lashing at you. So before Qiyamah, more and more adversities, and it's going to happen in quick succession. But, as I mentioned, a believer, how do we combat these, and how we react and respond to it, is different from a disbeliever. Remember, Allah is with us. Ultimately, الرضا بالقضاء. Whatever halat, ya Allah, you're going to put me in? Allah, do not test me. Allah is too kind. Allah will not put us into such difficulties we cannot take. Allah knows our weaknesses. And Allah will protect us. Guaranteed, yes. If Allah wants some harm to come to us in the whole world, can get together to try and benefit you, then harm will still come to you. And if the whole world wants to harm you, and if Allah does not want harm to come to you, then no harm will come to you. So if harm does come, then as I said, this is the decision of Allah. Why? Because Allah wants to reward you abundantly in the hereafter. May Allah give me tawfiq of understanding, give all of us understanding of whatever is happening in the world, so we may be prepared ourselves, spiritually especially, and our mindset must be correct. We must not make statements that our iman becomes in jeopardy and we lose hope. Never lose hope. This is the time to show the rest of the ummah the truth of Islam, the purity of Islam, how clean our ibadah is, how clean our religion is, how we worry about our, not only our outward tahara, but our inward tahara as well. May Allah give us understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Make a very quick short dua, because it's necessary to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We've already made dua, but we'll just make a short dua. The ummah is really, really suffering. At least in some part of the night, all alone, just if you can't even raise your hands, talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, this is your ummah. Ummah of your beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, main ek gunegar hu. Ya Allah, main ek kamzor hu. Ya Allah, my words, I don't even know how to ask you. Ya Allah, have raham. Ya Allah, change the conditions of the ummah wherever they are suffering. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم يا الله ما لغناكم ما عفرما ما لخطاكم ما عفرما يا الله جهان بي أمة پریشان حال ہو پریشانی دور فرما يا الله especially in the different parts of the world where zulm is meted out يا الله the ظالمين يا الله they are harming the مسلمان ما الله مسلمان کی حفاظت فرما جان مال آبرو عزت کی حفاظت فرما یا اللہ مساجد مراکز دین کی حفاظت فرما یا اللہ ان کی اولاد کی حفاظت فرما یا اللہ protect the معصوم children میں اللہ یا اللہ protect the ایمان میں اللہ یا اللہ protect them from the ظالمین میں اللہ یا اللہ give the ظالمین ہدایت میں اللہ show them the truth of Islam میں اللہ یا اللہ we have read that how many a Muslim person یا اللہ his whole factory his whole shop was burnt یا اللہ still he says I have forgiven those people اے مالک اے کریم یا اللہ change the conditions یا اللہ یا اللہ in those concentration camps یا اللہ those Muslims are going through such یا اللہ torture my Allah یا اللہ they're going through such difficulties my Allah یا اللہ remove those difficulties my Allah perhaps some mother or sister at home listening would receive my Allah sincere person my Allah some elderly person some sincere person sitting here child whoever it may be my Allah یا اللہ somebody is آمین my Allah Ya Allah, we are the ummatis of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, our du'as are so weak, our hearts are so weak, my Allah. Ya Allah, we have spoken about you, my Allah, and your greatness and how you forgive, my Allah. Ya Allah, lekin hum to bhot kamzor hai, my Allah. Ya Allah, we make promises and we break those promises, my Allah. Ya Allah, we have got nifaq in our hearts, my Allah. Ya Allah, do not make us amongst the munafiqeen, my Allah. Ya Allah, make us be amongst the kamil mu'mineen, my Allah. Protect us, protect our parents, our wives, our children, our progeny, my Allah. Ya Allah, give us istiqamat, my Allah. Ya Allah, send your mercies, Ya Allah, to the entire globe, my Allah. Ya Allah, whatever the bimari is being spreading, Ya Allah, remove the bimari, my Allah. Ya Allah, you find the ilaj of all those, Ya Allah, sicknesses and illnesses, my Allah. Ya Allah, you protect the entire ummah of Nabiya Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Grant us afiyat, my Allah. Salamati, hifazat, izzat, aman, chain, sukoon, rahat, protection, your marifat, your qurb, my Allah. Protect us from the shar of the shirin, fitna of the fitin, hasr of the hasirin, zulm of the zalimin, my Allah. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun waj'alna lil muttaqina imama. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiu al-alim. Wa tub alina ya maulana innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Ya Allah, oh mothers and brothers, ya Allah, especially the brothers who have come here to the masjid, my Allah. They've raised their hands, ya Allah, they have said so patiently, my Allah. Fulfill each one's hajat, my Allah. Whatever needs they have, my Allah, fulfill the needs, my Allah. Remove the difficulties, my Allah. Give us halal and tayyib, rozi, my Allah. Grant us ikhlas and maqbooliyat. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas sami'ul alim. وتوب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين